Now some news from the world of sports, and it will go down as one of those days when the world of sports intersected with the world of politics, culture, and race. Responding to comments made by President Trump at a rally in Alabama that NFL players who take a knee during the singing of the national anthem should be fired by the team's owners, and the president referring to such players by calling them an expletive, more than 100 players and coaches across the league showed solidarity with Colin Kaepernick, the player who initially began the protest as a way to draw attention to the multiple fatal encounters that African Americans have had with law enforcement officials over the past few years in the United States. It all started in England, oddly enough, where the Jacksonville Jaguars and Baltimore Ravens were showcasing the NFL for fans in London in a game that started at around 10 o'clock in the morning Eastern Standard Time. More than a dozen players from both teams knelt during the national anthem, then stood for the singing of the UK national anthem. Ravens coach John Harbaugh, Jaguars coach Doug Marrone, and Jaguars owner Shad Khan all stood with the players during the UK anthem and linked arms with the players. In Pittsburgh, the Steelers remained in the locker room for the singing of the national anthem, save for one player on the team, U.S. Army veteran Alejandro Villanueva, who stood for the anthem at the entrance to the tunnel. The Seattle Seahawks and Tennessee Titans also stayed off the field for the national anthem, the Seahawks releasing a player's statement that said, in part, "We will not stand for the injustice that has plagued people of color in this country." It was a remarkable day, to say the least, with even personal friend of Donald Trump, New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft, releasing a statement saying he was disappointed with the president's remarks at the Alabama rally and expressing his support for any player who wishes to exercise his First Amendment right to free speech. Meanwhile, a lot of people were just speechless over what to say about Tom Brady, who once again led a comeback victory in the final minute of play yesterday, finding Brandon Cooks in the end zone with 23 seconds left on the clock for a 36-33 victory over the Houston Texans. The Patriots trailed by five with about 2.5 minutes to go when Brady led one of his patented drives downfield for the winning score. Brady has now led the Patriots to wins in the fourth quarter when tied or trailing an astonishing 52 times in his career. He threw 5 touchdowns on the day yesterday. Did I mention he's 40 years old? And Brandon Cooks is proving to be an especially potent weapon for Brady, especially with go-to receiver Julian Edelman out for the year. Cooks collected the winning pass from Brady with a slight jump. He kept both feet in bounds with just a few inches to spare and held on to the ball for a thrilling victory, improving the Pats to 2-1 on the year when it looked like they were about to go 1-2. And there is just no getting around the fact that TB12 is the greatest quarterback ever to play the game of professional football. Elsewhere, the New York Giants are in an 0-3 hole to start the year. They were stunned by the Philadelphia Eagles yesterday when kicker Jake Elliott for Philly nailed a 61-yard field goal as time expired. It gave Philly a 27-24 win. A lot of people thought the New York Jets would be so bad this year they wouldn't win a single game, but don't tell that to the Miami Dolphins, who lost to the Jets 20-6 yesterday. Josh McCown threw a 69-yard touchdown pass to Robbie Anderson, and Bilal Powell ran for a score for the Jets to give the 1-2 Jets their first victory of the season. To Major League Baseball now, and the Boston Red Sox magic number for clinching the American League's Eastern Division is down to just 3 after the Mookie Betts show wrapped up in Cincinnati yesterday. The Red Sox trailed the Reds 4-1 in the 8th inning when Betts came up with one out and the bases loaded and then unloaded them with a double to the gap in left center that tied the game at 4 apiece. And Betts wasn't done there. Rafael Devers was up next. He beat out an infield single, and as he did that, Betts rounded third and kept on heading for home, sliding in safely with the winning run in a 5-4 Red Sox victory, completing an outstanding 8-1 road trip and 2 consecutive series sweeps. There was also a great highlight for Reds fans in this one when speedster Billy Hamilton got caught in a rundown between first and second. After Dustin Pedroia threw the ball away, Hamilton raced all the way around and scored when the Red Sox failed to cover home plate. But Betts made sure that his own aggressive base running kept that from being the margin of victory for Cincy. The Red Sox now have a commanding 5-game lead for first place over the New York Yankees, who lost to the Toronto Blue Jays 9-5 in Toronto despite 2 home runs from Aaron Judge yesterday. Really nice moment in this one when longtime Blue Jay Jose Bautista was sent onto the field by himself for a standing ovation from the Rogers Center crowd. It was Toronto's last home game of the season and likely the final game for Bautista in a Blue Jays uniform after a stellar career there. It was a great start for the University of Vermont field hockey team yesterday, with Landon Warren scoring her eighth goal of the season against Northeastern, followed by a Rachel Phillips tally. But the Huskies roared back to score six unanswered goals in a 6-2 win over UVM in field hockey. Elsewhere, St. Michael's shut out St. Thomas Aquinas 5-0. Freshman Shayla Flaherty scored two goals in the second half, her first two collegiate career tallies for the Purple Knights, and their defense was outstanding in this one. Goalie Anna Hurley needed to just make one save for her third shutout of the season. The Middlebury Panthers hope to deal Babson their first loss of the season. They got off to a good start with Grace Jennings getting Middlebury on the board first, but Babson scored the next two for a 2-1 win, improving to 9-0 on the season. Castleton University scored seven goals in the first half en route to a 10-0 win over Becker College in a non-conference game yesterday. And in women's college soccer, Johnson defeated Paul Smith 6-2. Kylie Ather entered the record books for Johnson, scoring four goals in the game to give her 51 for her career, the most ever for a women's player in Badger history. And the Johnson State men were victorious as well with a 6-0 shutout over Paul Smith. Dominic Caforia had a big game for Johnson State in this one, two goals and two helpers in the win for the Badgers.